Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again in the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan baby, the Great Lakes State, in a beautiful green nutrient field with my good friend Craig Russell, the Hustle. Craig, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. It's a beautiful Sunday afternoon, Sunday morning here in the middle of the mitten. The mothership has never looked better. Green and nice and warm. Summer is here. The first day of summer was this past week. And you're recovering from the 100-miler. How was the big race? That race was brutal, wasn't it?
Lumberjack 100, we talked about it last week. It was brutal, but Team Levitt Law Racing, Shred the Gnar, represented. And everybody just did a great job. By the way, I have a huge adrenaline rush from shredding the gnar. And
I bet you do.
Oh, I do. And that's why we opened the show with one of my favorite all-time groups, Slipknot, Psychosocial. I just feel like turning it and burning it. I'm an old mosh pit kind of guy. I was into Black Sabbath and all those hardcore groups, you know, some of the heavier stuff. And Slipknot just turns it and churns it and burns it for me.
You know, we're on 98.5 UPS in central and northern Michigan, also on Rock 105 in Traverse City and Rock 95.5. We just rock, and they know Slipknot. Trust me, they know Slipknot.
And I want to welcome all the listeners from around the globe who listen to the show on podcast. Portugal,
oh, yeah.
Sweden, Canada, Israel, China, Malaysia, Indonesia, Ireland, England. I mean, we have people checking in from all over the country, and you can hear us on Libsyn, Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, Podbean. Be sure to subscribe to the show and tell your folks about it. Big shout out to our listeners in Canada, by the way, the Northwest Territories, Alberta, Ontario. And kudos to Canada, by the way. Big clap for Canada. They legalized cannabis.
Yeah.
It is a legal country, number two behind Uruguay. Uruguay was the first country across the board to legalize cannabis, and Canada's number two.
Wow, that's right. It's going to start in October. You'll be able to buy it all over. I just saw the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, a few days ago, was announcing how it's going to make the not only kids safe and people safe, but people who use cannabis. It's going to be safer for them because the government's going to be involved, and it's going to keep it out of the hands of people who shouldn't have it, those under the age of 18, and it's going to allow people who want to partake over the age of 18 to be a part of it.
Absolutely, and Canada is going to allow you to have four plants at home, and it's under the Cannabis Act, and Trudeau actually campaigned. It was one of his campaign promises, and I'm pretty stoked about that. So way to go, Canada. We love Canada. And in the States, 30 states at this time allow some form, some program, medical or otherwise. So that's outstanding. And we have a huge show, by the way, Craig Russell, a huge show today. I mean, this show is going to be filled with tons of information. This is going to be by far the biggest show we've ever done.
And tons of information is always a good thing.
Tons of information. Okay, I have a question for you and the listeners. This is going to give you something to think about. Over the past month or so, I've complained about four-way stop signs.
Yes, you have.
Here's the question for you and the listeners. You come to a four-way stop sign. You're heading from the north, heading south. Someone is heading south, heading north. There's only two of you that come to the stop sign. There's no one coming from the east or the west. The person from the south, the direction you're headed, that individual comes to the stop sign first, but there's a pedestrian that is crossing in front of that car. You're there. You're turning left, and you have a clear path to turn left. The question is, do you wait for the pedestrian to continue crossing the street, or do you take that left since the car that had the first right of way has to stop and give right to the right way to the pedestrian. What are you going to do?
I would say you should wait for the pedestrian to cross, wait for that car to go through, and then turn. But I don't think most people would do that. I think most people would just turn while the pedestrian was crossing. But I think you should wait.
That's correct. Pedestrians always have right of way. And in that scenario, you don't want to turn left so that you can keep that pedestrian safe. Albeit the car that had the right of way first, ahead of you, was there first. You don't want to take that left. So, Craig Russell, you are correct on that. You are absolutely correct.
Wow.
Here's another question for you. I've got a bunch of questions today. And these are coming from listeners. The four-way stop was my scenario because that happened to me last week. And when I was sitting there and I made the right decision, because that is the right decision, I thought that'd be something for the listeners to think about.
Yes, I agree. And I'm really amazed that I actually got it right, because I'm usually not right on some of those things.
Okay, how about security guards? How about a security? You know, you hear mall cops, security guards at stores, people get caught, unfortunately, retail fraud, third degree. State of Michigan. This could apply all over the country, but you'd have to check with your state. What do you think? Can a security guard, do you think in a state of Michigan they're permitted by law to hold you if they believe that you committed a crime? Do you think they could say, Mr. Russell, come with me, I'm detaining you, I'm holding you because I just observed you commit a crime of retail fraud in a third degree?
I would think they would be able to. Isn't there a thing called a citizen's arrest where you can actually detain someone until the police come? Wouldn't that kind of fall into that?
I mean, let's just talk about the citizen's arrest. The citizens have no police powers. So if somebody said, I'm a citizen, I'm holding you in custody, you could basically look at them and laugh at them and just walk on your way. We don't want you to commit any
crime. I did not know that.
Yeah, can you imagine somebody says, hey, I'm a citizen, I'm placing you under arrest. I would say, hey, what's your police authority? But in the state of Michigan, this is interesting, private security guards are permitted by law to hold you if they believe you have committed a crime in the area under their specific control. They may search and actually question you. But here's the thing, just as if with anything else, you do not have to answer any of their questions, and you have a right to remain silent. You don't have to incriminate yourself under the Fifth Amendment. You have a right to remain silent. But unlike police officers, Craig, private security guards do not have to read you your rights before asking you questions, except in very rare circumstances, and I don't have those cases in front of me. But a private security guard, they're permitted by law to hold you, you know, if they believe you committed a crime in an area under their control. That's pretty, I never knew that.
I didn't either, and here's my question then. So if they don't have to read you your rights, and then thus you can either not say anything or you can say things, would anything you say to that security guard be admissible in court if they didn't have to read you your rights?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're a witness with firsthand observation, so that would be a really good witness for the prosecution.
But even if while that security guard, with no expectation of privacy, because that security guard could be detaining you in part of a store that has people present with no actual authority to be able to arrest you or anything like that, they're just detaining you. So if you said something to that security guard, maybe even before you got to a back room or to a storage area or something like that, before the security guard is questioning you, I would argue you wouldn't be able, anything you say in that respect probably wouldn't be admissible because you're not being questioned by the police. You're not being questioned by an actual legal authority.
You don't have
to. It's just somebody who's detaining you.
Correct.
Really?
If you as a citizen observe somebody committing a crime, you have firsthand knowledge, you're observing it, you call 911. The police arrive. They're going to take your statement. That's going to be sent on to the prosecutor's office. You're going to be contacted by the prosecutor and potentially asked to testify as to what you observed while the defendant allegedly committed the act. So yes, that's a first-hand observations are, as a defense attorney, when I defend individuals, and I represent individuals for larceny, retail fraud, malicious destruction of property, I'm not just a drinking and driving and cannabis lawyer, although I specialize in those, in license restoration, and witnesses who can provide first-hand observation, those are not, we don't want those kind of witnesses. But here's another question for you. Ready for this one?
Okay.
How about schools? We're still a ways off from school. I get a call. Actually, I get a few calls every year from high school and junior high parents. And the question is, what authority do the schools have, you know, to search my child's locker? What privacy rights does a student have in a locker? That's the question. So that's something we can answer.
That's
when
a question.
We come back from break.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Time to take a break on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Let's go to break.
And by the way, we're coming back strong with Slipknot, Cycle Social, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, starring Craig Russell, the Hustle, and yours truly, Attorney Todd Levitt. We'll be right back.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Slipknot, Psychosocial. That's just how I'm feeling today, Craig. I'm just feeling like turning it and burning it, shredding the gnar. We are definitely hitting some single tracks after the show this morning.
You are. I've got a date with a golf course after this. So it's a beautiful weekend. It's been another nice warm summer time. Summer is officially here. I know you were talking about school a few seconds ago, but I wanted to touch a little more upon the security guard of the store and firsthand knowledge experience of a crime being committed. You were talking about how a security guard could detain you and that they have firsthand knowledge of you committing a crime. And that makes probably the best witness for the defense or for the prosecution of someone who you're trying to prosecute committing a crime, correct?
That is correct. I mean, as a defense attorney, what I would try to do is impeach that witness's testimony, hire a private investigator, do a background search on that witness, find out what their story is so that, you know, you can impeach their testimony. Now, under the rules of evidence, at least in the state of Michigan, every state, you know, we have rules of evidence. So they may vary from state to state, but as far as not the federal rules, because federal is federal law across the board, but each state may have different rules of evidence in regards to hearsay and impeachment, what can come in, what can't come in, you know, prior test, you know, get rid of the prior testimony thing. So, yeah. So, Craig, so what's the question?
Well, the question would be if it was the other way around, if you were, say, defending the person who the security guard caught in the act, wouldn't you try to find that security guard, maybe that security guard was in possibly incarcerated a couple of weeks ago and just got a job, and maybe they have been in court before providing false testimony for other witnesses. Wouldn't you want to try to discredit that security guard as maybe possibly not being, you know, it's not like he's a police officer. He's a security guard hired. Yeah.
Well, that's what I just said. You would, that's exact. Well, you just answered the, I just answered that. Yeah, that's the answer to the question. You would impeach their testimony, find out what their credibility is. But again, under the rules of evidence, there's only certain things that can and can't not come into court. So it's quite possible that while the witness is on the stand, as a defense attorney, you're going to ask a question. The prosecutor should know whether or not that's a proper question and whether the rules of evidence allow for it to come in. And if it does not, they should object. The judge will then make a determination based on the rules, whether to allow it in or not.
And so that would be a situation where firsthand knowledge might not be the best thing, because that witness the security guard who had the firsthand knowledge might not be the most credible person. He might have a beef with the person that he detained. And
well, here's a problem.
Okay.
You want to know how the prosecutor, let me tell you how the prosecutors are going to get around that.
Okay.
Because most of these stores, these big box stores, Kohl's, Walmart. And it's interesting because in Walmart, typically the females will steal makeup. The males will steal alcohol and electronic games and so on.
Sure.
But
that makes sense.
There's cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
The prosecutor, one, has a videotape. I mean, video is just damaging evidence against defendants. Then you have the observations of the security guard, whether or not you can impeach that person's testimony. If the testimony is consistent with what that individual told the police at the time of the incident and it's consistent with the video, as a defense attorney, you're going to have a hard time defending your client. Now, retail fraud in the third degree. So let's say you take some makeup.
Okay.
You should never take anything, no. Number one. You should never steal.
No.
Typically in the state of Michigan, at least in the courts I practice in, if it's your first offense, first time offender, there's something called a delay of sentence where after a reasonable amount of probation, if you satisfy it, the case will be dismissed. It'll be nollied by the prosecutor. That's what typically happens with retail fraud. Having a retail fraud on your criminal history for purposes of jobs, trying to get apartments, loans, I mean, it's damning. It's damaging to you.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to make sure, you know, you hire the right attorney whereby he or she practices criminal defense and knows about HYTA, delay of sentence, deferral statutes. And there, we have a lot of listeners all over the country, Craig. So I would ask those. We have a lot of listeners around the country and the world. Make sure you defer to your state or country's laws in regards to something like this. Don't rely upon anything I'm saying. I'm referring to the state of Michigan.
Exactly. And on top of it, this kind of leads us into the next topic of what you were talking about, schools. Now, granted, there are more cameras in schools these days than there ever used to be, but it's very possible you could get into an older school or maybe a school district that doesn't have a lot of money for security and cameras. And you're talking about, you know, what if someone in the school goes through my son or daughter's locker and finds something? There might not be any camera evidence to support what they're saying.
Here's the question. The question is, what are your Fourth Amendment rights as a student as it pertains to your locker in regards to illegal search and seizure from school officials or from an officer of the law who's worked within a school? Let me get back to retail fraud for a moment.
Okay.
I have found in my 24 years experience that people commit theft for various reasons. One, they steal to fund their drug habit.
Sure.
They commit theft. I mean, this is aside from like major theft rings. I'm talking about, you know, let's say somebody who has an addiction. They may steal from their parents, their family, their friends, their coworkers, or other places of business that they don't have a right to be. So that's the one thing. Another reason why people take things without permission, committing retail fraud, larceny from a building, it's a chemical. They get a rush out of it. So it's not necessarily the act. It's everything leading up to the act if you talk to these individuals. And so they get a chemical rush from it, and it's not necessarily to fund a drug habit. Then I've seen cases where individuals have trauma happen in their lives, a loss of a loved one, a divorce, loss of job, something very traumatic. And they're not thinking straight, and they make a very poor choice, and they end up doing something like that to strike out.
Right.
And, you know, to hurt themselves. So those are some of the varying reasons I've seen over the years as a defense attorney that people commit retail fraud.
Now, wouldn't they also maybe commit retail fraud for, you know, stealing diapers because their kids need diapers? I mean, you know, to fund their family, to help support their family. Those
situations? Well, yeah, then there's a fourth. That's poverty. I mean, people steal because they, and again, you should never break the law. But yeah, that's another reason. But I, as a defense attorney, I always come across the first three.
Sure.
I've had clients who have literally filled up grocery carts, gone to the self-checkout, and every other item they fail to scan and put it in a bag, and then they get caught.
That's what cameras do. Cameras check that stuff all the time.
And here's the thing. You know, under law, especially Michigan law, you know, you have to have two things. You have to have the intent and the act itself. So we were taught in law school that once somebody has the intent and removes an item from the shelf with the intent to take that item and steal it, that's theft. But how do you prove intent? So if you walk down an aisle, Craig Russell, and you take a pair of shoes and put it in a cart, they're not going to detain you right there. They can't prove that you have any intent. Nothing shows intent. But once you go through that checkout and fail to scan it, now there's the intent. Now they have the act itself and the state of mind, the intent to commit the crime.
What if you just by accident forget to scan something? I'm sure people do that all the time where they actually, you know, just by sheer happenstance, they forget that they've got a gallon of milk in the bottom of the cart. They forget to scan and they walk out.
Again, there's no intent there. So there's no intent to steal. And look, when I go to a grocery store, I always check the bottom to make sure that doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
But let's get back to school searches. So what rights do you have if you're a student, if school officials want to search your locker? What do you think the answer is, Craig?
I would think, since unfortunately you're on school property, you probably have very little rights. If it was, say, your personal car in a parking lot on school property, you might have a little more. But I think when you're talking about a locker inside a school, you probably forfeit a lot of your rights.
You're correct. The school owns a locker, not you.
Right.
And under Michigan law, this is just Michigan law, school officials do not need as much of a reason and consent to start. School officials do not need as much of a reason to search students and their belongings as the police do. By law, lockers in the state of Michigan, at least, and again, check your state, belong to the school, not to the students. So a principal, a teacher, or other school official can search any locker at any time for any reason. And I got to tell you, I completely disagree with this. I don't have any case law in front of me, but this is a good source that I'm reading from in regards to Michigan law. As a student, I always wanted privacy. I mean, when you go to school, most students don't even know what we're talking about right now, that locker belongs to the school.
Right.
And your privacy rights are non-existent. Now, law enforcement can't just appear on the spot and search your locker because it's the government. It's law enforcement. They don't own a locker. So I would argue that you do have a reasonable expectation of privacy in that locker against, government intrusion.
On the other hand, we're mostly talking about minors, children under the age of 18. The majority of kids in school, especially in a middle school or high school setting, are not legal adults, which means they still have rights, but a lot less rights than adults do.
They do not have the type of rights you would think they would, being minors. Again, we're talking about the state of Michigan. School interrogations can be conducted by school staff or police stationed in the school. A principal or teacher does not have to read a student his or her rights before asking them questions, unless doing so under the direction of law enforcement. Again, you have to distinguish, is it a teacher, a principal, or is it law enforcement? And here's what I would tell your students, folks. I mean, I was one of those kids that got kicked out of class all the time. I was always going down to the principal's office. I mean, I would have to go to the bathroom and not show up. I would just take off and leave the school. I'm just being honest. I don't recommend anybody do this, but you should tell your students, if by chance you make a poor choice and you're sent down to the principal's office or they suspect that you may have done something wrong, you have a right to remain silent. Ask to have your parent present. Do not say a word. People need to just pipe up out there. Too many people chirp like birds when they're in certain situations, and they have a right to remain silent. Use it.
You know, you saying that you got sent down to the principal's office a lot and were trouble in school, that doesn't really shock me a whole lot. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know.
I got a lot of trouble in school, Craig. I mean, I'm not proud of it. And, those out there can check the record with Berkeley High, Class 83, or talk to my fellow students. I had to go to night school for 2 years just to graduate high school on time with my class. I mean, I got in a little bit of trouble growing up, and that's why I became a defense attorney, because I made those poor choices. But
you made up for those poor choices, though, and you realized you learned from those poor choices, and look at you now, model pillar of the community.
Well, when I represent somebody, I don't judge. Nobody should judge anybody. I think everybody should first look internally before you judge somebody else. I don't judge anybody. I get why people do things, because I made poor choices as a juvenile. And to this day, I apologize to my mother.
Does she believe you?
And here's another thing. Can I tell you something that really peeves me off, I just thought of?
Well,
do we have enough time, or do we have to go to break?
Well, you can, but we should take a break. Why don't we take a break, and you can tell me what peeves you off when we come back on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
All right, Craig Russell, take us out. We'll be right back.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting in a beautiful nutrient field in the state of Michigan. Pure Michigan baby from the mothership, Craig Russell. What a beautiful nutrient field. It's a beautiful day. We have listeners listening all across the globe, from Australia, by the way, to Sweden, California. Almost every state in the country has listened and downloaded our podcast. California ranks number 2 after Michigan in downloads. So big shout out to all our friends in California. And if you have any questions, shoot us an email at toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com. And everything's confidential. We will never disclose your name, where you're from, or anything as such. You've never heard us do that on the show. And be sure to check out the podcast on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, Android app. We're all over the place.
All over the place. And you can hear us on the air on 98.5 UPS and on Rock 105, Rock 95.5. We just rock, Cartman. Eh.
So we just rock. That's right.
So we were talking about something you had to complain about, something you were wanting to talk about. Is that right? Were we complaining about
something? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But before I do so, big shout out to Vince Jr., who owns the Lion Smoke Shop in Beaverton. That's a great shop. So if you've never been to Beaverton, Michigan, you know, the school, they're the Beavers, actually. I don't know. I mean, that's a great name, the Beavers. We were the Berkeley Bears. But big shout out to Lion Smoke Shop. Check them out right there on SD Road. Vince Jr., great products, great guy, and in a great town.
Awesome. Sweet.
But, yeah, you know what? This is really what pisses me off, okay?
What's that?
And I'm always one to prop up the legal profession.
Sure.
And we take a lot of grief. I mean, people, they'll blame their lawyers, and, you know, lawyers get a lot of grief.
Agreed.
But here's what upsets me. If you're going to hire an attorney, let me give you some advice. Here's a number of things you must consider. Will that attorney provide you a fee agreement? If you're going to hand somebody money, especially an attorney, and you'll have to check with the state that you reside in or where the, you know, you're needing services, I always provide a fee agreement spelling out exactly what is going to take place, what my obligations are, what your obligations are. I make no promises, guarantees. But here's what really obsesses me about lawyers. Don't go to a lawyer who tells you what you want to hear. Go to an attorney who tells you, based on their experience in the law and the area that you're there to consult with them, based on their knowledge of the court system, in my case, you know, who the judges are, the prosecutors, not knowing them personally, but knowing, you know, what they may or may not do in a particular case. I find often that, you know, there's lawyers out there who they interview these clients and they tell them what they want to hear, not what they should tell them in regards to what the outcome actually could be. Now, there's a, you know, most lawyers I know do a great job, but I know those lawyers exist because, you know, I'll have these clients, Craig, and you can see the look on their face when you tell them, based on my knowledge and experience in doing drinking and driving cases and drug cases. And if I tell them, based on my 24 years plus experience, that this is what is likely to happen, you can see the look on their faces. And once they leave, you know they're going to hire somebody else because they want to hire somebody that's going to tell them what they want to hear,
sure,
not what the outcome is actually going to be. And so what pees me off is if there are lawyers out there that do that, and I know there are, they shouldn't be doing that. They should be that you don't promise or guarantee anything, and you should be telling these clients exactly what may or may not happen based on your experience in that courthouse handling that area of law, not just because you want to make a dime and you're going to tell them what they want to hear. I don't do that. I tell you exactly based on my experience, and I'll say, look, I'm not trying to give you false, hopes. I'm not trying to mislead you. I want to make sure we both know what the expectations are. No promises or guarantees.
And you want to be realistic about it too, you know? I mean, that is where I think a different attorney who would tell you what you want to hear is doing not only you a disservice, but they're doing themselves a disservice. Because eventually, you're going to tell these wild stories that, you know, what the client wants to hear, and then you're not going to be able to deliver on that. And if you can't deliver, you don't get a lot of return business when you don't deliver on what you say.
Here's another thing, and again, we have listeners all over the country. Here's something you must look out for. Lawyers, at least in the state of Michigan, are required to provide you with a fee agreement that spells everything out. If you're paying an attorney a retainer, that means that they're going to be charging you more than likely billable hours, which means you're going to get charged for every phone call, email, any and all communications. There's a dollar amount you will be charged. So check to see if you pay an attorney, is it a flat fee which means there's no additional cost, you know, from start to finish. This is the fee. And be sure your state allows that. Not every state may allow a flat fee. As criminal defense attorneys, we've been known to take flat fees. So you come to me for a drinking and driving offense, I'm going to charge you so much from start to finish. If I have to go to trial, it may be an extra dollar amount, and that will be spelled out. But typically, it's a flat fee. A retainer is a lot of divorce attorneys, corporate lawyers, probate lawyers, lawyers of all types take a retainer. And I've spoken to 100-plus individuals over the years who have said, oh, yeah, I paid a retainer, then I started getting a bill. Well, they didn't know what a retainer was defined as. Be aware of that.
Exactly. Do your homework. You should never let just purely advertising pick your lawyer for you. You should do your homework. You should find out, maybe find out from a family member, someone that they've used. Call around. I'm sure if someone called you and wanted to know what your fees and things were, you would tell them. You would tell them straight up what to expect. Yep.
Yeah. If you're going to hire an attorney because you've seen that attorney on TV or you hear an advertisement, when you call that office, you need to ask, is that attorney going to represent my interest? Or am I going to be sent down to a junior associate? Or am I going to be referred to another firm altogether? A lot of those attorneys that advertise on TV, folks, at least in the state of Michigan, I know this for a fact. A lot of these attorneys, they will, if your case is not a big dollar case, they have a list of attorneys that don't even work in their office they're going to send you to. They're only going to keep the best of the best. And as an attorney, as a referring attorney, at least in Michigan, they're going to get a third of the third recovery. So, now, it's not going to come out of your pocket. So let's say you have a case, Craig Russell, that's worth $100,000.
Right.
Your attorney recovers $100,000. So after cost to litigate the case, they're going to take a third or whatever you agreed upon. If an attorney referred that case, then their third, they're going to get a third of that attorney's third. Does that make sense to you?
It does make sense. No, it makes perfect sense.
So a lot of those attorneys on TV all over the country, I'm sure, make sure that they're handling the case. If you're calling an attorney, you have a right to find out, is that attorney going to handle my case? When you call my office, I'm the only attorney here. I work with Rob Pizzielli. There's another thing. If you're going to hire an attorney, make sure that attorney has a caseload whereby he or she can handle your case and give it the attention it needs. This is some great advice, Craig Russell.
It is. And you know what? And I say this all the time, and I truly mean it. If you are not someone who hires an attorney all the time, or not someone, you know, for the most part, I think most people are good law-abiding citizens, and you never need an attorney. But when you do need one, you there's no class that's, you know, hiring attorneys 101 or anything like that. You know, you don't usually have a lot of knowledge of this kind of stuff. And this is a great service that you do, providing information about hiring an attorney, information about how the legal system works that most normal people, if you aren't involved in it, you probably don't know about. And here's a way to learn about it. And I think I learned so much on this show. I've learned so much about the law in the last year and a half. You know, you watch Law and Order or something like that, and you think you learn a lot about the law. I learned way more about it after talking to you and being on this show for a year and a half. By the way,
you know,
if you do ever want to get a hold of Todd in his office, I know he won't say this, but I will, 989-772-6000, Todd Levitt. And if he can't directly help you, he has a whole host of some of the best lawyers in the state of Michigan, and he will refer you to them, and they will be people who can handle your situation and can give you the attention and the expertise that you deserve and should expect. Because when you spend a lot of money, I mean, legal fees, it's a good amount of money to take care of a situation. You expect to get, you know, personal service. And I know that's what you provide.
I appreciate that, Craig Russell. And one of those attorneys I work with is attorney John Marco.
Right.
M-A-R-K-O. So albeit I'm a defense attorney specializing in, you know, DUIs, drug cases. I'm a cannabis specialist, also driver's license restoration in Michigan, actually all through mid-Michigan, all the way to the great state of Superior, the Upper Peninsula, as we refer to it. But if you or someone you know, and this is sort of a solicitation here, I guess, are in an automobile accident, God forbid, or motorcycle, we love all of our motorcyclists out there, all the clubs, individuals. So please keep an eye out for motorcycles.
Yes.
And pay attention. Give them plenty of space. If you've ever been on a bike or a cycle, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody is injured, contact my office. I'm going to put you in direct contact with Marco via his cell phone. So instead, and Marco will handle your case. He's not going to pawn it off to somebody. So if somebody's injured in an accident, you call my office, Levitt Law Firm here, and I'll put you in touch with John Marco, who, in my opinion, is the best attorney in the country. if not the state of Michigan. He used to work for the Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court. He worked for Jeff Feiger, and now he's working for himself, and he's an outstanding attorney.
He knows his stuff.
But again, we're talking about how to hire an attorney, what to look out for, and just as a refresher, make sure you get everything in writing. Get a copy of the fee agreement. Do not be afraid to ask questions. In fact, I appreciate when people write them down ahead of time, and they're sitting in front of me asking me, you know, 100 different questions. If you're in front of an attorney and you're asking, you know, him or her questions, if they start to make faces or look bored, well, that rules that attorney out right away.
Yes, you have a right to find an attorney not only that you believe in that will help you, but also one that seems interested in you. I mean, it's not like you have to take the first one that comes along.
Craig, it's like anything. It's like anything. There has to be a fit, because as an attorney, it's a team effort. You have to work with the client, their families, my staff, the court. It's a team effort here. So, and here's the thing. When someone's being prosecuted, you have the prosecutor, other prosecutors, staff, law enforcement. You have a dozen, two dozen individuals all working against your interest. So if you're going to hire an attorney, make sure that attorney, he or she knows what he or she is doing if it's a criminal defense case. I mean, there's 100 other areas of law. This pertains across the board. And just because somebody has a title, I don't care what you do. I was a waiter. I delivered pizzas for Domino's. There's a shameless plug for Domino's, 30 minutes or less. I delivered pizzas and waited tables at the same time for 10 years. I worked in Berkeley, Michigan, store 1029, 11 in Coolidge. I even know the store number. I folded thousands of boxes. You know, just because you have a title or a job title doesn't mean you're good at what you do. It all comes down to your work ethic and what type of person you are. And that holds true in any profession, legal or otherwise. Just because you're an attorney or a doctor or an engineer, I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, what type of person are you? Because the type of person you are is going to roll over into the type of individual you are and how you represent and take care of your customers in any profession.
Totally agree. Hey, we got to take a break on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll come back and we'll talk some more about attorneys and the law with Todd coming back. The Todd L. Levitt Law Show thanks you for listening to our podcast. If you have a business you think people would want to hear about, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show accepts advertising. We can promote your business to a very specialized, targeted audience. Any size commitment and any budget. Email toddlevittlawshow@gmail.com for more information about sponsoring and advertising on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show podcast.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Slipknot, Psycho Social. I love Slipknot. I mean, I'm a headbanger at heart. I used to love getting involved in mosh pits, and I'm full of adrenaline coming off the Lumberjack 100. I'm just telling you.
I know. You were burning and churning and whipping and zipping and whatever you say when you're doing all that biking stuff, man, and you're rocking out.
Yeah. Big hair. Speaking of big hair, hair crash during the Lumberjack. Yeah, took a spill.
Oh, is he okay? Yeah. Is he okay?
Yeah, he finished strong. No, he finished strong because he's on Levitt Racing and Levitt Law Firm Mountain Bike Racing. We finished strong. We had my buddy Tommy, who was a Special Forces guy. Served our country proud. He was our lead rider. We had Chad, otherwise known as Big Daddy. And we had Schaefer, otherwise known as Schaefer. Chris Taylor is part of my team. We love Chris Taylor from Harrison, Michigan. What's up, Chris Taylor? We have a great team.
Yeah, you talked a little bit about this last week, but I mean, I know you were just sore and not in the mood to talk about it last week because you were, I know, you probably have recovered now from it from this week, correct?
No, it's taken me a week to recover from Lumberjack 100. I'm in my 50s, you know.
I'm telling you,
you know, you're biking thousands and thousands of feet of elevation. But look, you don't have to be a mountain biker. Just get outdoors and do something. I mean, you were born to live, so get out there and live. And I want to tell all the listeners out there, it's never too late to reinvent yourself. I don't care how old you are, and always check with a doctor first before you take on any strenuous exercises. It doesn't cost anything just to go outside and sit and enjoy the outdoors.
Agreed.
You know, you could just sit by the river, listen to the, just be quiet and listen to the birds. It's just, there's a lot of beauty out there. You just have to find it. And it's actually, the beauty is from within. It's whatever you feel makes you feel that way. It doesn't have to be what you like or I like. It's whatever you like. There's no excuse. Just get outside. If I didn't have to live in a house, I wouldn't. I would live in a tent.
I bet you would. I could see you doing that someday.
I'll purify my own water. And by the way, I'll purify. Hey, Craig.
Hey, Todd.
Speaking of big hair, you recall a story a few weeks back where he ended up mowing somebody's lawn? That the grass was so long, he mowed their lawn?
Yeah, because he thought he had to or something. Wasn't that the case?
Yeah, it's a long story, but I come to find out he's mowing other individuals' lawns. I mean, he's a man on a mission with a lawnmower, and he's out to make sure everybody's landscape looks just perfect. So if you wake up and you're in the state of Michigan and someone manicured your lawn, there's a good chance that Big Hair did it. So that's just like the elves that help Santa. I mean, Big Hair is the guy that will landscape your lawn and your house. When you wake up, it's like, oh, my God, Big Hair was here.
Now, here's something to know, because we do have a lot of podcast listeners all across the country. There's a gentleman who is going to each one of the 50 states and is mowing lawns for the elderly, the disabled, veterans, single moms, doing it just out of the goodness of his heart. He's gone through like 26 or 27 of the states so far. Last I saw, he was either in Oklahoma or Nebraska. He's going through every one of the states, and he's going and helping out people. You can find him on Facebook. And if you know somebody who needs a lawn mowed, I don't think we're doing, Big Hair's doing it to this extent, but this guy is great. He is, he's trying to build up young men and trying to make lead a positive example. And he's going out and helping, like I said, the elderly and disabled, our veterans, single moms, people who need their lawn mowed. He's traveling around the goodness of his heart with a lawnmower, mowing people's lawns in all 50 states. And I think it's just a great thing. And maybe Big Hair can do that.
You know, if everybody out there who's listening just did one thing to help somebody else, this world would be a better place. And I got to tell you, I mean, I love our vets. I love, you know, I support law enforcement. How often, Craig, have you and I been together where, and you've done this, I've seen you done this a number of times, after the show, we'll go out and get something to eat. I've seen you actually pay for people's food before. You and I were at one of those ice cream places getting soft serve. I saw you pay for a man and his kids because they didn't take credit cards, only cash, and the guy didn't have any, and you dished out some cash. And I've done the same thing. You should always pass it on and don't ask for any credit. Just help somebody out. You know, if you, I wish there was a news channel, and I try not to watch the news because there's too much negativity out there, and we're full of positivity. I wish there was a news channel that was devoted just to all the positive things that people do, not only in our beautiful country, we love, you know, the US of A, but all across the world. So wouldn't that be a great idea for a channel? Is that not a great idea?
But you know,
a positive channel spreading positive love and all this negativity.
But you know what? I think a lot of people just like to do good things for other people, and they don't need the limelight, and they don't need to be recognized for it. They just want to do it.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I'm just saying, so that's what I'm saying. I think you would have a hard time finding people to be in this good news channel, because I think a lot of people like to, you know, like what you were just talking about. I don't like to publicize that. There's no reason for me to jump on my horse.
But
and
here's
say,
the thing. It would bring awareness. It would bring awareness to whatever it is that the good deed is
no, I understand.
Being done. So
no,
it's not a matter of, and then there's a lot of, look, there's a lot of award shows and there's a lot of this and that, and people don't ask for, you know, the accolades, but I just think that we need more positivity out there, especially because we're sitting right now in a nutrient field,
yes.
Craig Russell. And I mean, and if you look around at the clones, yes. They're everywhere.
Hey,
and I'm not talking about Star Wars.
Hey, Todd, I love it. I hate to break the news to you, but our time is up. The show's over.
Come on, Craig. We're just getting started. Come on.
I know, but we got to get going. The listeners got to get going. You got to get going. Don't you have some mountain biking to do or something today?
We're
going to
be shredding the gnar on a single track somewhere out there. Absolutely.
Exactly. So
big shout out to my buddy, Kate. By the way, big shout out to Dave Kate, one of my fellow attorneys and shredders. He was up in Copper Harbor, Michigan last weekend, and half the place got washed out. A Taco Bell, the roadways. Copper Harbor up in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan took a hit. We were in the middle of the Manistee Forest. He's up there, Copper Harbor, shredding the single tracks, and I called him up the next day to make sure he got out of there safe and sound, and he did.
There is a, I saw one picture, and this is all you have to see here to know how bad it was up there. A picture of one of the rain gauges from the National Weather Service. It collected, are you ready for this? 1.75 inches of rain, almost 2 inches of rain in 60 seconds, 1 minute, almost 2 inches of rain. This rain gauge collected in 1 minute. That tells you everything you need to know about what happened up there. Hopefully the people are safe up there and they're getting the help that they need to rebuild the roads and rebuild the towns. Cause man, that water was just, it, the power of it is enormous, but so our love and our good thoughts go to the people in the Upper Peninsula and everyone around the world who's listening on podcast. And if you're, you know, whatever you're doing today and whatever you're doing with your family or whatever you're doing when you listen, thank you for taking us along with you. We appreciate it.
And when you're down, there's nowhere to go but up. Always remember that.
That's right.
We'll see you same time, same place next week, whether it's on podcast or 98.5, Rock 105, 95.5, and the Mothership. Craig Russell, we have to go. We're going to go out with Slipknot. I'm not just a litigator. I'm psychosocial. I'm an advocator. Take us out, Craig Russell.
It's not my girly idea. If it's nothing season, is this what you want? I'm not the only one.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Mackinac Properties and Northern Michigan Vacation Rentals, buying, selling, and renting properties in the Straits of Mackinac region since 1998, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, and Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.